Okay. Nothing. Yes, something's happening. That's good. That's good. We have liftoff. Welcome to Technocratic Tyranny Blues. There's been more drama. Inevitably. So the statement that was going to happen on the 31st of October is now on the 17th of November. And this is Jeremy Hunt explaining why they moved it. This is a Sky News report.
One priority is economic stability and restoring confidence that the United Kingdom is a country that pays its way. And for that reason, the medium-term fiscal plan is extremely important. And I want to confirm that it will demonstrate debt falling over the medium term, which is very important for people to understand. But it's also extremely important that that statement is based on the most accurate possible economic forecasts and forecasts of public finances. And for that reason, the Prime Minister and I have decided that it is prudent to make that statement on the 17th of November, when it will be upgraded to a full autumn statement. And I've discussed this last night with the Governor of the Bank of England. He understands the reasons for doing that, and I'll continue to work very closely with him.
It's only 10 days since the Governor of the Bank of England said that having the government's plans first and then the interest rate decision on the 3rd of November was the correct order of events. By moving this until after the interest rate decision, aren't you just risking more uncertainty, more chaos, more market turbulence?
Well, there has been a lot of market turbulence, even in the last 48 hours. And the question is how you deal with that turbulence to make sure that the very, very important, the very difficult decisions that I and the Prime Minister have to make are the right ones, decisions that stand the test of time and do the right thing for people at home who are worried about their mortgages, their jobs, the cost of living, the bills and so on. And for that reason, accuracy in the forecasts, both around public finances and economic growth, is very important. And that's why this is the right decision and a prudent decision.
You were already getting forecasts from the OBR. People look at this delay and think, hang on, this is because either the Prime Minister wants to check your homework or because the new Secretaries of State are kicking back against the spending cuts you want for them. What's the problem here? And is it to do with the new Cabinet not wanting to go along with your plans?
Well, the OBR also want to make sure that their forecasts are the most accurate possible. And there have been a lot of changes, you know, even in the last 48 hours. And this is my recommendation to the Prime Minister as the best way to ensure that the decisions that we take, these very, very difficult decisions, are ones that stand the test of time and give us the best chance of giving people security over their mortgages, over their jobs, over the cost of living concerns that everyone has.
All right, so that's Jeremy Hunt explaining why the fiscal statement that was happening on the 31st, Halloween, is now delayed until the 17th of November. It's not that big a deal, but it is still drama of sorts, so it has to be kind of classified as drama, really. If people keep changing their minds constantly, then everything gets delayed. And the Tory party has been changing its mind quite a lot recently. Here we go. It's Prime Minister's question time. So this is Rishi Sunak's first Prime Minister's questions facing Keir Starmer in Parliament. I don't know whether it's started yet, but it's due. So this is Sky News coverage of that. This is live, so I don't know what will be happening in between. It's usually just
an error of judgment, but she recognised that, she raised the matter and she accepted her mistake. And that's why I was delighted to welcome back into a united cabinet that brings experience and stability to the heart of government. And let me tell you, Mr. Speaker, what the Home Secretary will be focused on. She'll be focused on cracking down on criminals, on defending our borders, while the party opposite remains soft on crime and in favour of unlimited immigration.
Mr. Speaker, yesterday the Prime Minister stood on the steps of Downing Street and promised integrity, professionalism and accountability. But then, with his first act, he appointed a Home Secretary who was sacked by his predecessor a week ago for deliberately pinging around sensitive Home Office documents from her personal account. Far from soft on crime, I ran the Crown Prosecution Service for 5 years. I worked with Home Secretaries to take on terrorists and serious organised crime. And I know firsthand how important it is that we have a Home Secretary whose integrity and professionalism are beyond question. Yes. So, have officials raised concerns about his decision to appoint her?
Mr. Speaker, I just addressed the issue with the Home Secretary, but he talked about fighting crime. I would hope that as we look forward, he would welcome the news today that there are over 15,000 new police officers on our street. And the Home Secretary will be supporting them to tackle burglaries. Well, the party opposite will be backing the lunatic protesting fringe that are stopping working people going about their lives.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I listened carefully. That was clearly not a no. We can all see what's happened here. He's so weak. He's done a grubby deal, trading national security because he was scared to lose another leadership election. There's a new Tory at the top, but as always with them, party first, country second. Yesterday, on the steps of Downing Street, he also admitted what the whole country knows. The Tories have crashed the economy and now somebody has to pay for their mess. I say it shouldn't be working people who've been hammered time and again by this lot, but those with the broadest shoulders must step up. Does he agree?
No. Well, Mr. Speaker, the Honourable Gentleman talked about party first and country second. Perhaps he could explain to us why it was a few years ago he was supporting the member for Islington North. Mr. Speaker, my record is clear. When times are difficult in this country, I will always protect the most vulnerable. That is the value of our compassionate party. We did it in COVID and we will do that again.
Mr. Speaker, he says he'll protect the most vulnerable. Let's test that. The government currently allows very rich people to live here but register abroad for tax purposes. I don't need to explain to the Prime Minister how non-dom status works. He already knows all about that. It costs the Treasury £3.2 billion every year. Why doesn't he put his money where his mouth is and get rid of it?
Well, Mr. Speaker, I have been honest. We will have to take difficult decisions to restore economic stability and confidence. And my honourable friend, the Chancellor, will set that out in an autumn statement in just a few weeks. But what I can say, as we did during COVID, we will always protect the most vulnerable. We will do this in a fair way. But what I can say, I am glad, Mr. Speaker, that the party opposite, honourable gentleman, has finally realised that spending does need to be paid for. It is a novel concept for the party opposite. This government is going to restore economic stability and we will do it in a fair and compassionate way.
I know he's been away for a few weeks, but he should have listened to what's been going on the last 2 weeks. But anyway, I have to say, I'm surprised he's still defending non-dom status. He pretends he's on the side of working people, but in private he says something very different. Over the summer, he was secretly recorded at a garden party in Tunbridge Wells, boasting to a group of Tory members that he personally moved money away from deprived areas to wealthy places instead. Rather than apologise or pretend that he meant something else, why doesn't he now do the right thing and undo the changes that he made to those funding formulas.
Yeah! Well, Mr. Speaker, I know... I know the right honourable gentleman rarely leaves North London. Yeah! But if he does, he will know that there are deprived areas in our rural communities, in our coastal communities, and across the south, and this government will relentlessly support them, because we are a government that will deliver for people across the United Kingdom. But Mr. Speaker, he mentioned the last few weeks. I am the first to admit that mistakes were made, and that's the reason I am standing here. But that is the difference between him and me. This summer, I was talking. I was being honest about the difficulties that we were facing. But when he ran for leader, he promised his party he would borrow billions and billions of pounds. I told the truth for the good of the country. He told his party what it wanted to hear. Leadership is not selling fairy tales. It is confronting challenges, and that is the leadership the British people will get from this government.
Mr. Speaker, I think everyone should watch the video and make their own minds up. In public, he claims he wants to level up the North, but then he boasts about trying to funnel vital investment away from deprived areas. He says one thing and does another. But they're shouting. They're not my words. They're the words of the former chair of the Tory party, sacked yesterday for telling the truth about the Prime Minister. Even his own side know he's not on the side of working people. That's why the only time he ran in a competitive election, he got trounced by the former Prime Minister, who herself got beaten by a lettuce. So why doesn't he put it to the test, let working people have their say, and call a general election?
Well, it'll take a long time to get through this paper if we carry on like this, Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, he talks about mandates, about votes, about elections. It's a bit rich coming from the person who tried to overturn the biggest democratic vote in our country's history. Our mandate is based on a manifesto that we were elected on, to remind him, an election that we won and they lost. A mandate that says we want a stronger NHS, better schools, safer streets, control of our borders and levelling up. That is the mandate that I and this government will deliver for the British people. The Wheeler.
Heather's not even answering questions. You want more? Come on, Heather.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to congratulate my right honourable friend, our new Prime Minister, and also to thank our previous Prime Minister for the straightforward way she has handled her resignation, and I wish her and her family well for the future. Would my right honourable friend please use this, his first appearance of the dispatch box, to make it clear to the British Medical Council and the British Dental Association that as well as training, more training spaces opening up, that they must allow new doctors and dentists to work in the UK so that the good people of South Derbyshire can get treatment on the NHS.
There you go. So that was Prime Minister's questions. It always gets a bit heated. That's just the way it is. But there you go. I'm going to leave it there. I think that's pretty much everything I wanted to do. It was only Rishi at Prime Minister's questions I wanted to get for this one. Keep it all simple and short and snappy and specific. That's the way I like to do things. So there you go. I'll see you a bit later on. There'll be another one of these probably in a couple of hours' time, I would think.